like quite a few folks in this room, I'm part of the graduating class of 2005, and I went down. In my years at the Post Dispatch, I had gotten to know a fellow by the name of Mike Lawrence, who was Jim Edgar's press person. And as soon as I heard about the buyout, I called Mike up, who was running the Paul Simon Public Policy Institute. And Mike was very nice to bring me down to the Paul Simon Public Policy Institute. And for the first several months, I would give lectures to whatever class anybody wanted to invite me into, which really wasn't that many classes. It was a pretty easy life. But I talked to quite a few journalism students. And, I sort of cringe as I think back to what I was saying to them. I was even feeling a little guilty about it at the time because I was describing, you know, the plight of economics in today's newsrooms and major metropolitan papers, and I kept being afraid that the students were leaving the course and going straight to their academic advisor and changing their majors, you know, because it was a really pretty dreary portrait I was painting. And then gradually, you know, I thought about it more. I guess I got away from the Post-Dispatch environment for a longer period of time, and things began to look brighter to me. I realized, I guess I probably, if I'd thought about it enough, I should have realized this a long time ago, that we're at this most exciting of times. In speeches I give about this, I say, and it's not my, you know, this isn't my my own insight, but that this is the most exciting time since Gutenberg and the movable press, as far as, you know, revolutionary change in the way information moves from one place to another place. And so, what an exciting time! You just want to make sure you're not, you know, you're not left in the dirt with the scribes and the monks of the medieval days. A lot of us are running as fast as we can to avoid being left in that historical dustbin. So I began having a much more upbeat message to the students. I still couldn't come up. I still am not very good at explaining to them, you know, where are you going to be in 5 years or 10 years or 20 years? Are you going to have a job like I did for 34 years at the Post-Dispatch? Probably not. Most importantly, what is the economic model that is going to support really good journalism? I don't know what it is. If anybody in this room knows what it is, I wish they would tell me, because my crystal ball is really murky on that point. But I am totally confident that the desire for new information is not going to decrease. It's only increasing. And so the role for reporters and people who can write clearly and think clearly and know something about an issue and now can use the technology to convey that information, that's only going to, the demand for that is only going to increase. I eventually fell into this. As I left the Post-Dispatch, I think I left with some trepidation because I really loved working there. I really loved being a reporter, and I guess I still think of myself really as a journalist more than an academician. So I was very, very nervous about it. I was one of those guys who, you know, the approach of the deadline was something that I really loved. I can remember. I probably shouldn't tell this story due to Cole Campbell's having died. It's not a nice thing to say, but I can remember the day that Cole Campbell resigned, going home and being sort of celebratory, and drinking at least two martinis, and then the news coming over that Janet Reno had just issued a report on the Branch Davidians and Waco. And so by this time it's like 8 o'clock, and I went straight to the coffee pot and I warmed up the coffee and I drank two really big cups of coffee and went back down to the paper and wrote the story for the deadline, because I was addicted to that kind of thing. I loved that. And so I thought as I left, gee, I'm really going to miss this. But quite honestly, my I think my approach to life really got a lot more rosy as I, after I got out of there. And I, you know, I was able to sort of let go of the things that made me mad at the Post-Dispatch, the, you know, all the various things I disagreed with. You know, I suddenly found myself surrounded by a faculty that couldn't let go of all of their disagreements. And it was, almost as amusing to me, although don't tell them that. You know, I would keep telling them, you know, I used to be in your position too. You just got to let go of this. But they won't. So I've realized that the future is in being a lifelong learner. And I'm learning a lot of new things as far as multimedia presentation of the news. We just are publishing a book and then have a website on what we call the Cairo Project. It's a reporting that has photos and stories and video and audio on the web about Cairo, Illinois, which is a journalism project I'm really in. That's why I still feel like I'm a journalist. And then I look forward to working on the platform as it gets going, and I'll just be providing free content, which is what, you know, a lot of these new operations are going to rely a lot on. So with that, if anybody has any questions, I'll be happy to answer them. Yeah, Charles.
You mentioned the dismal future of newspapers. Aren't all the newspapers profitable? They may not make 40% as some of the broadcasters do. They make 10 or 15%. But none of them operating at a deficit. And the misconception is they have to make 30% or 40%. They don't. But they're profitable.
Yeah.
Why is their future dismal?
Well, I mean, I think one reason that newspapers, one thing is that the market, for one reason or another, and I've never really understood this, why the market demands 25 to 30%. But when the market, when there is that expectation and you perform below expectation, that, you know, that has a big effect on the economics of a newspaper. Think about the Post-Dispatch. I mean, that was probably the worst. The purchase of the Post-Dispatch by Lee Enterprises may have been the worst deal in history. You know, they bought the Post-Dispatch for a premium at the top of the market, and look what's happened to their stock. I mean, that whole company is worth far less than they used to be.
The performance of the Post-Dispatch, you're talking about the enterprise. It's a different situation.
Well, it's a different situation, but they're all pretty related. I mean, because it maybe it's a different situation, but there sure are a lot of folks leaving 900 Martin Luther King. Is that still
North Tucker?
there are a lot of folks leaving that door because of the economics of Lee Enterprises. You know, I see your point, Charles, but I mean, you can't deny what's happening in newsrooms, big newsrooms around the country, with people being let go and staffs shrinking. Yeah, I wish the bosses didn't and the stockholders didn't demand more, the kind of return that they demand. But I don't know how to wave the wand to make that change. Yeah, no, you know, I don't. And one of the things I tell students is that while there may be troubles at some of the big metropolitan papers, that there's still the little papers. There's lots of jobs at smaller papers. They're niche magazines. I mean, they're all sort. I think the platform is just going to be is just one of a whole bunch of startup online ventures. There's lots of journalist type jobs with nonprofits, like one of our colleagues, John Sawyer, started the Pulitzer Center on Crisis Reporting, and that's a great place for a young journalist, or even for an older, well trained journalist who wants to go off and do some foreign reporting. So I have lots of directions to point them. Just because of what we see, you know, right before our faces with the Tribune or the Post-Dispatch, that I think that doesn't mean that the future of a person who wants to be in a newspaper-like setting is dismal. Yeah.
Going on with that, you
Yeah, no, I think you're right. They can learn this. Yeah, they're leaving journalism programs knowing how to do sound slides and Flash and HTML and all these things that are expected of them. But even for them, it's sort of hard sometimes. I mean, I was talking to Laurie Scrivan, who's a photographer for the Post-Dispatch, and who's also on the softball team, a really good second base person. She's a very young woman, but she is sort of set back by the idea of they're putting video cameras in her hands instead of, and she sort of rebels at that, and because. You know, she says photography is catching the moment, and you don't catch a moment with a video camera. It's a totally different deal. It's for online, but then they'll just take a frame out of it, and that'll be sometimes in the paper. And some of our own students who have gone through the photojournalism program, they've gone off to internships, and they walk in the door and they have the video camera put in their hands. So even for these young folks, they've got to be really fast on their feet also and learn something new really quick. Yeah.
I would like you to encourage your
students. Okay, great. That's terrific. Thanks a lot.